Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
It is the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and, well, hey, you know, I did say it was Friday, right?
Start spreading the news.
Everybody knows what that means by now. Schomburg Stew is here. What's going on, Stu?
Nothing much. One down for the Cubs and one to go for the nightcap.
Yes. So, hey, if you'd like to call in and talk to Stu or I about the Cubs, that would be really interesting because I don't know why you'd want to do that. 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, oh, go ahead and feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, I'd greatly appreciate that. But, you know, if not, go ahead, jump on that Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. You can also find me at Burke Time, and sadly, still no Stu on Twitter yet, but if you'd like, you can reach out to me there, and I will gladly forward anything you need along to him. So there you go. You're all caught up with everything we're doing. So, all right, well, I have to ask you to start. How much of Game 1 did you actually watch?
I watched it until it became 4-0. Then I turned the set off. So I'm about 3 innings, maybe 4 innings.
Yeah, I mentioned to you, I actually fell asleep. I took a little nap, and I woke up with one out in the bottom of the seventh inning, because it was a doubleheader, so there was only 7 innings. And, the Cubs went down rather easily to end the game, so I was just kind of like, oh, okay.
When you have a AAA lineup, it's easy to go down quickly, I suppose.
Yeah, you know, not the best lineup they're running out there, but unfortunately, it is what they have, and that's just kind of how it's going to go, right?
I'm sure David Ross will be happy when the season comes to an end, and I'm wondering if he will actually be retained for next season or not.
Well, you know what I found interesting is, like, these other teams, you know, like the Diamondbacks announced that they're bringing their manager back, Torrey Lovello. You know, out in Baltimore, former Cub bench coach, I believe, what is it, Brandon Hyde, it's already been announced that he will be returning as well. So you got to kind of wonder if Ross is going to get a shot. But I don't know. I mean, really, at this point, is it worth getting rid of him?
Probably not. And do you anticipate them signing any kind of free agents during the off season? And if so, will it be just of the mid-level variety?
You know, the a lot depends on pretty much who you believe. Remember, you know, Tom Ricketts, I believe it was, came out and said this was going to be a quick rebuild and they were going to, you know, turn things around in a hurry here. So we'll see if he's telling the truth or if he was just lying to us when it comes to this off season and what kind of money they spend, because that'll really be the telltale sign, because they need a lot.
Starting with about 4 or 5 more starting pitchers they could use, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, you know, and I'm guessing, you know, we're going to see, you know, at least one of the young guys in the rotation, be it Justin Steele or Adbert Azalea, but, I have you been overly impressed with what either one of them has done this year?
Neither one of them, and I've also been very disappointed with our supposed number one stopper, who, to me, looks eminently hittable in every game. I mean, he could pitch great for two or three innings, and then he's always going to give up that home run ball, and he'll be taken out of the game in the fifth or sixth inning, as usual.
So, yeah, he's really had his problems coming down the stretch here. That just... for whatever reason, he's just been almost a complete bust. So you have to wonder, you know, if there's another plan. You know, do they have an idea what they're doing there? Are you going to bring in somebody to be the number one, or are you just going to run with this?
They look like a solid fourth place club now, and I think even if they made a lot of acquisitions, I don't see him going much past fourth place next season either, no matter what they do.
Yeah, the off season will be the telltale sign on what they're doing and if they're, you know, actually serious about, you know, going somewhere. But I don't have a lot of faith in, you know, what they do. And, you know, even lately we've been going back and forth on, you know, their coaching ability, because as I pointed out to you, all of a sudden Javier Baez has become patient at the plate. And it turns out that the Mets manager, I thought it was the hitting coach, it was actually the manager going over his at-bats with him and kind of showed him what was going on. And it was like, okay, well, why couldn't they do that in Chicago when he was striking out every other at bat?
It makes you wonder about the lack of expertise of the Cubs, or are they afraid to sit down with him and say, hey, you're not going to make it if you swing at pitches 3 feet outside on the ground every time you're at bat. You got to be more patient. Why didn't they do it?
Yeah, you would think, and I mean, you know, we've seen, you know, Baez is now having success with the Mets. I mean, at first it was, you know, kind of funny, and all the Cubs fans were getting a laugh out of the fact that he was scuffling and, you know, oh, yeah, ha-ha, look, we dumped this guy on you, even though you didn't really get anything in return, but... you know, now he's doing well. Chris Bryant is doing very well with the Giants. You know, and Anthony Rizzo got off to that start, you know, that really good start with the Yankees. And, you know, it looks like COVID may have slowed him down a little bit. So, yeah, you know, I mean, they moved big pieces that are helping other teams.
Yeah, don't forget Kyle Schwarber either.
And Schwarber, who's just, well, they just let Schwarber go. They didn't even get anything for him. And, yeah, I mean, he's been a monster, not only in Washington, but now in Boston. So.
Yeah, I'm sure. You think management actually looks back on some of these things with misgivings, or don't they care? Are they more interested in the bottom line and the fact that they spend so much money improving or saving the ballpark that they figured that the fans are going to come anyway, so what do we care if we get rid of all our major players? We'll still get a capacity crowd every game.
I don't think, you know, Jed Hoyer might have some reservations about how this went down, but you got to remember this was all done on Theo Epstein's watch, you know, the baseball genius who did an incredible job of putting this team together. And then completely blew it when it came to keeping it as a contender. You know, because you can look at these other teams, you know, the Astros completely tore down, rebuilt, won a World Series, and they're still contending years later. They haven't had to go through and just completely wipe it out like the Cup just did again. So what's the difference? Obviously, scouting, drafting, and coaching because they've remained competitive. They've signed their guys they've needed to sign. You know, Jose Altuve has signed long-term. Alec Bregman has signed long-term. But they've moved on from other guys, and the Cubs, for whatever reason, refused to do that. And you ended up being a fourth-place team with a bunch of guys on expiring deals, and you weren't going to be able to sign all of them, so you traded them.
Every one of them. Now, is this what the Cubs are going to be in the future? They'll start to rebuild. They'll get a few decent ball players. Maybe Davis will be a good ball player. Who knows? And then they'll build up to a near contender again. And then when it comes to contract extensions, they'll say, well, it's time to rebuild again. We can't afford to sign all these guys and start all over again. Is this going to be the mode of the future for the Cubs?
Well, maybe this will answer it for you. I just found this article from Jesse Rogers. We plan to be really active in free agency, team president Jed Hoyer said Friday afternoon. We plan to spend money intelligently. We're scouting that market heavily. We're going to analyze that market heavily. There's off seasons when free agency is something you do a little bit of, and obviously we have to be more active than usual to fill out our roster because we have a lot more open spots. So does that breed your confidence in what they're going to do next year and how much better they're going to be now? You should be relaxed.
I should be, but somehow I don't take what he's saying seriously. I think, as I said before, I think if they will sign a few free agents, I think they're going to be of a mid-level variety that certainly will not make them a contender for next season and beyond.
Yeah, and, you know, you've got to think guys like Frank Schwindel, Rafael Ortega, and even Patrick Wisdom, who strikes out way too much but does hit a ton of homers. You've got to figure these guys are all going to be given the opportunity to be everyday players next year, you know, especially a guy like Schwindel, who has really surprised some people playing every day. So we'll have to see who they decide sticks around and who goes.
Of all the players you mentioned, the only one I could think of that, to me, should be a lock to return next season is Frank Schwindel, because he doesn't strike out nearly as much as the other players involved, and he seems to be able to put the ball into play and hit intelligently. I've seen him hit the ball into right field for hits and not try to go for the home run every time. And how could they possibly keep Ortega on the roster when he can't hit left-handers? I mean, you talk about Schwarber having trouble with left-handers. Well, this guy is, what, maybe two or three hits all season against left-handers, and a couple of them have been of the swinging bunt variety. So you can't afford to have a player like that in your lineup.
Well, no, but what they can do with him is platoon him, and then anytime there's a lefty, because they're not going to run into that many lefties. You know, so he could play against all the righties, and then you've just got to find a matchup, you know, somebody who can play the spot against left-handed pitching.
Yeah, they would have to do that. And he seems to be a decent outfielder.
They could bring Jake Marisnik back to do that. I'm sure he'll be available.
Yeah. Well, saying that, of course, would ensure that they would finish in fourth place again next season, unless the Pirates get hot.
Yeah. So, but yeah, you know, it will be, you know, kind of an interesting mix to see how they, you know, they put it together and, you know, just how it ends up shaking out. But the, you know, the difficult part is, you know, you can find everyday players that get hot and have career years, but, you know, this pitching staff is a shambles, and I don't know, can you rebuild it in one off season?
It's hard to fathom them going out and getting three starting pitchers, for example. I just don't see that happening. And they need them.
Well,
they need
starters.
Even
if they signed two and they went with Kyle Hendricks, two guys they signed, Azalea and Steele, while it wouldn't be the worst rotation in baseball, the problem becomes, is there two guys out there that are going to be top of the rotation guys that you can bring in?
That's another
good
question.
Would they want to come here to probably not compete for at least a year or two?
Yeah, you would think so. And it's hard to have all that much faith in Azalea and Steele. I mean, they look good on occasion, but they catch up to them. They'll catch up to them, and they'll have a couple of bad innings, and that's it. It's like what happened today. Steele looked good for a couple of innings, and then he gives up a couple of two-run shots.
So, yeah, because, you look at the free agent market. Now, there's a guy, Kevin Gausman is going to be out there again. I'm sure the Giants will give him the qualifying offer, but that no longer costs you a first-round pick. But do you honestly think after the success he's had with the Giants that he's going to leave?
I don't think so. Especially considering the Giants have had.
Yeah, he'll be the big name out there. I mean, Clayton Kershaw is out there, but he's 34 and he hasn't been the Clayton Kershaw that he once was. Robbie Ray hits the market at the perfect time with the year he's having, but if you bring him in, he's probably the only pitcher you're going to bring in because of what it's going to cost you. Max Scherzer is out there, but he's 37. Maybe they could talk a guy like Carlos Rodon into switching sides. But, other than that, I mean, they're going to be kind of pushing their luck on bringing these guys in and just hoping that they can break through. I mean, Dylan Bundy is only 29. He's been out there, and I know he's hurt right now, but he's been terrible with the Angels. He was good with the Orioles, but he's been terrible with the Angels this year. So, I know everybody seemed high on John Gray, the Rockies starter. They keep thinking if you get him out of Colorado, he'll be okay, but that's yet to be proved. So, I just don't see these bigger names coming here to pitch. Do you?
I don't either. And thinking again about what you said about what Hoyer said today, I get the impression that what he's talking about is not starting pitching, not bringing in starting pitching, but bringing in mid-level players like Jock Peterson, for example, along those lines.
Yeah.
And that's what he's going to consider the acquisitions the Cubs are going to get for next season.
Yeah, that's sadly, that's kind of the feeling I have because, I wouldn't be surprised to see them sign a lot of guys, but I just don't think they're going to be high-level free agents that you need to compete.
Yeah, unless some of these guys in AA and AAA come through as expected, I think it's going to be two or three years before the Cubs are relative again. I don't see it happening next season at all.
Yeah, well, you have to remember that, a lot of those guys they got in these trades were Class A players, so they're nowhere near ready to make any kind of contribution.
No. This is Brendan Davis and the organization have decent year in AA, nothing great. But since he moved to AAA Iowa, he's done very well. Now, is it a case of a guy finding himself and finally figuring it out? Or just that the league doesn't know him all that yet, and this is not indicative of what he can do at the major league level eventually?
Yeah, it's always a difficult call with that. And I guess the question becomes, you've got to take a look at him now, right? I mean, you can't, when spring training rolls around, you've got to look at him as a serious you know, a serious addition to the team.
You think they'll give him a chance, at least, and see how he does in spring training.
But, yeah, you look down there, and, I mean, does anybody else jump off the – there's nobody who really jumps off the page at you down there.
No, not at all.
You know, you don't know how that's going to go. And then, you know, what is it? Double A is – what, Peoria still? Is that double A? I forget.
Or is it down south? I don't remember now. I don't think it's Peoria.
Yeah.
I think isn't Peoria single A? I'm trying to remember now.
No. I can never remember which teams are which for, you know, which team. So, but, yeah, I mean, they're just, you know, have any, you know, there just hasn't seemed to be a lot of prospects that you look at and be like, oh, yeah, okay, you know, this guy's a future whatever. And yet when it comes up or when that guy finally gets here, it's not what you thought it was going to be.
Right,
you know?
And this is not like 2014 when, hey, Soler, we got Bryan, we got Baez and Contreras and all these guys, Schwarber, all these guys that have great potential. And they all came through, but we don't have that situation now.
So, yeah, and it's Tennessee that is double A. Peoria is actually no longer affiliated with the Cubs. South Bend is high A, and Myrtle Beach is low A.
Right.
So.
Okay. And I wanted to ask you one thing about what Hoyer said, about being active in the offseason. Does the fact that the CBA is coming up have any kind of impact one way or the other on the negotiations that could be that are going to happen for the free agent market next season?
You know, it might. It depending a lot's going to depend on how long it takes to get an agreement done.
Do you anticipate,
you know,
it being contentious? Do you think it's going to be a contentious agreement this time?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if a guy will sign with a new agreement because, you know, there may become set rules on signings. You know, I know there's been a lot of talk about making teams have a salary floor because there's just too much difference between what teams have salary-wise.
Oh, of course. Well, that's been a point of contention for years.
So, you know, we'll see how, you know, see if that's something that, kind of shakes out. So, yeah, that may actually hold up signings depending on, how long it takes.
Right. And does the CBA start immediately after the end of the World Series?
You know, I don't remember what the – there's an actual date on it, and I don't remember what it is. That's where Dan comes in here because he knows all this stuff. So,
and, of course, one of the things that's going to be discussed at the CBA is whether or not the DH will become universal. And that has to be a factor in teams in the National League, especially considering signing various players who may not be a great fielder but could be a decent hitter. And if they're a DH, that's certainly it's a factor to take into consideration if indeed it becomes a universal thing and not just for the American League.
Yeah, and it definitely does look like that's going to happen. But I was looking at the Cubs double A stats, and I think I found your future favorite Cub player. They have a 22-year-old in Tennessee by the name of Christopher Morel. He's got 17 homers and 64 RBIs, and he's even stolen 16 bases. And this guy's right up your alley, with the exception of that he's hitting 220 and he struck out 124 times in 101 games.
Well, that's a typical major league stack. They should bring him up already.
So yeah, I saw that, and he is a third baseman, shortstop, outfielder. So he's got some versatility. Let me see where he's played the majority of his games at this year. So, yeah, it looks like he's played most of them in center field, but he has played a share at in the infield as well. So,
in general, have you felt that, for example, if a guy hits 220, 230 in A or double A, it's going to be kind of a stretch to think he's going to eventually make it to the major league level, although I'm sure there have been some exceptions when a guy maybe turns around and figures something out and does better at the triple A level than he did at double A and eventually makes it to the majors. But is that the exception, would you say?
You know, there's a lot that kind of goes into your performance in the minors, and you know, in some cases, you know, you get these kids who are 18, 19 years old and they're away from home, and that just really affects them, you know. And then as they, you know, become older and they begin to mature, it's easier for them, you know, they're used to it. So there, you know, there are guys who can handle it, but yeah, if you get a guy who's 24 or 25 and he's still hanging around single A, the chances of him actually coming up and even being a contributing bench player are really slim.
Yeah, and when you think about did Wisdom and Schwindel and Ortega have decent batting averages in the minors, or did they strike out an alarming, especially in the case of Wisdom, did they strike out an alarming right there and hit for just a mediocre average?
Give me a second here. I can tell you here. All right. Patrick Wisdom first appeared in a full season of A-ball back in 2013. And yeah, he's always struck out. He struck out 114 times his first year. The next year they moved him to double A. He struck out 149 times. His first full year at triple A, he struck out 149 times. So, yeah, he has always struck out, no matter where he's been. He's just a strikeout guy.
Has he ever hit as many homers in the minors as he's done this season for the Cubs, the 27 homers,
yeah,
establishing the rookie record?
With the Rangers in 2019 and the Cardinals in 2017, he hit 31 home runs in triple A both years. And he's always shown power throughout his career. You know, he's got double-digit homers coming up through the minors. So it's been there. It's just a matter of, you know, somebody giving him a chance, because this is the first year he's played the most games he's ever played in the majors before, with 32. So this is the first year he's had an opportunity.
At what time do you consider a player who's had previous major league experience eligible for the Rookie of the Year award?
Well, they're eligible until they play a certain number of games in a year. I don't remember what that number is, but yeah, there's a set number. Baseball has a set number.
I think I mentioned to you there's an article today. About Patrick Wisdom saying that during the off season, and the coaches that talked to him about this, they're going to try to figure out a way to change his batting stance too much, but do something to prevent him from striking out so many times. And whether or not they're successful, well, that's another question.
Yeah, we'll we'll see. I'm not incredibly confident that this is something that the Cubs coaching staff will be able to do. So,
yeah, as I said, the only one that really seems to have a possibility of a future with the team is Frank Schwindel, who has consistently hit since he's been up there, and he seems to hit smartly. I've seen him hit into right field and put the ball in play, and unlike the other players who go for the bomb every time at bat. So maybe he's a keeper. I just don't know.
All right, here, I found your rookie eligibility rules. A player is considered a rookie if he does not have 130 at-bats or 50 innings pitched in the major leagues. Also, if he has 45 days on the active roster. So, prior to September 1st, the call-ups after September 1st don't affect that. So,
okay.
The eligibility, and yeah, Wisdom didn't have that.
No.
So.
Yeah, I was thinking about Schwindel, and he's had a long career in the minors, and
yeah.
It seems to me he was quite inconsistent. I mean, some years in the minors he did great. His batting average is very solid. But other years he was, less than 200, so that's strange as far as I'm concerned. I'm just wondering what happened, why the swings went up and down like that.
Well, you do wonder, we're talking about a guy who bounced, through multiple coaching staffs. You know, he started with the Royals, then it was Tigers, back to the Royals, Tigers again, then Oakland. So you just wonder if maybe they had different approaches and it affected, the way he played.
Yeah, some years he had very solid batting averages, and other years it was below the Mendoza line. So it's really strange how inconsistent he's been. And maybe he's one of the late bloomers that finally figured it out. Who knows? But you're always skeptical when you think about that.
His last couple seasons were consistent. In the area where he is now. So you just kind of wonder if maybe he put something together and, figured it out.
Yeah, being optimistic, you hope that it happened, that he's a late bloomer, and the last couple of years he worked in the minors and finally saying, oh, this is how to do it, and he's going to be a solid player for the Cubs for the next 4, 5, 6 years. But we've been struggling like this before, so you can't be superly optimistic about it, but it's still encouraging. He's had a terrific season. And he's just
you do wonder if just the fact that now he's getting regular playing time, so he's getting at-bats every day, seeing pitches every day, and that makes a difference. You know, you go through and you look at, some of his years where he didn't play all that much. So
yeah, I wondered about that, too. I wonder, was he injured or?
It's possible, or maybe the team had somebody in front of him, and that person played over him. Because first base, obviously, I mean, there are a lot of high-quality first basemen out there.
No question. Yeah, I noticed that, too. In some of his minor league seasons, he had very little at-bats, so.
And some of it was due to bouncing between double A, triple A, or double A and A ball. But yeah, you've just got to think, he was on this team and they didn't have plans for him. I mean, like, you end up in Detroit, well, obviously you're not going to play over Cabrera. I know Kansas City has, Ryan O'Hearn, who they really seem to like. So there weren't really any opportunities. The only reason he ended up in Oakland this year is because Matt Olson got hurt.
Yep.
And he jumped up and played 8 games until Olson returned. And then, he was out of he was out of options, so they exposed him to the waiver wire, and the Cubs grabbed him, and, you know, now he's getting a chance to play.
I wonder which scout on the Cubs grabbed him when he became available.
Yeah, you know, who knows, and you wonder why they didn't grab him when Kansas City exposed him and he couldn't go through.
But maybe they lucked out this time. But we'll have to see what happens. If they, assuming they bring him back for next season, can he still play at that level again?
Yeah, that, you know, that's always going to be the question, you know, as time goes along and things move along, you know, can they maintain their, you know, their pace or their peak or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, like, I mean, I'm not expecting him to continue to hit 360, but, you know, I mean, if he can hang around 300 and, you know, pitching 25 home runs or so, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, no. And he does seem to be enjoying himself, from what I can see, and he seems to be having a good time on the field, and that's important. Maybe he's
well, you know, first, you know, this is the longest he's stayed at the major league level, so I hope he's enjoying himself.
Yeah, and it appears that he is.
You know, before this, he had like 15 games of major league experience, so he's at 46 with the Cubs, probably 47, because I'm guessing today's isn't added in. So, yeah, I hope he's having a good time.
Well, he should be eligible for Rookie of the Year, but I don't think he's going to win it if he is eligible.
Yeah.
Because of India, I think he's going to take it from Cincinnati.
Yeah, Jonathan India is definitely the front runner. You know, and I know, you know, they keep pushing wisdom and, you know, to give the Cub fans something to talk about. So
yeah, he would not be my selection as a Rookie of the Year, despite hitting 27 home runs.
So, you know, and I, you know, the one advantage for wisdom or for Schwindel may be the fact that the Cubs don't really have anybody in the pipeline when it comes to first baseman. You know, they went out and got that guy from Atlanta in the Jock Peterson trade, but I think he's in low A. I don't even think they put him in high A. I'm trying to remember his name here to see if I can look him up. I know it was two B's, right? Brent Brell or something like that, or Brian Brell, or
The name sounds familiar. I don't think he was hitting all that much, though.
No, he wasn't a great hitter to begin with, but he was a power guy. That's what everybody kept talking about. So that was the big attraction there.
My inclination was that if the Cubs decided to bring someone back for next season, a former player, it would have been Rizzo. But I think they're having second thoughts now because Rizzo hasn't done all that great with the Yankees, and he seems to be on the way downhill. And Schwindel has just been shocking everybody. So maybe they would have thought about it initially bringing Rizzo back, but now maybe not.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any reason to. And I did find him. This kid's name is Bryce Ball. Now, he's only 22. He was at high class A with South Bend. I believe their season is over. 53 games, he hit 7 homers, 21 RBIs, hit a whopping 207, struck out 62 times in 53 games, but he did walk 40 times.
Well, that doesn't excite me, his stats, let's put it that way.
Yeah. But, yeah, he is apparently the future first baseman. I don't know how long it'll take him to get here. Being that he's 22, he's probably got some, you know, quite a bit of time before he shows up. But that, you know, that's the guy.
Yeah, would you be surprised if he ultimately became the first baseman for the Cubs? I know I would.
Well, you know, if he can go through and continue to hit enough home runs,
don't think Schwindel has anything to worry about for the next couple of seasons, though. unless the Cubs do make a move in the offseason and bring in a first baseman.
So, which it would actually be really interesting if they did that, because out of all kind of the needs they have, you would think that wouldn't be one of them.
No, that's right. They have so much they need that it seems to me it's going to take a little while before this team becomes relevant again.
So, yeah, interestingly, they do have a player that ended up in Double A, Nelson Maldonado, who hit pretty well. That he's a first baseman there. So, you know, you do wonder if maybe down the road there are guys who, you know, can challenge if, you know, the Frank Schwindel experiment doesn't work out.
Yeah, one could think about that. I wonder if Maldonado was related to some of the other Maldonados that have played Major League Ball.
Yeah, you do wonder.
And others.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm sure it's quite possible. But,
One name I know that creeps up in the majors from several different players is Alcantara.
Yeah. So, yeah, that keeps popping up. The pitcher with Miami is doing very well now, his last few starts.
Yeah. I wonder if he'll be available as a free agent.
No, unfortunately, he is not. He is still very arbitration eligible, I believe. I don't think he's pitched all that long. Yeah, he's only 25. So he doesn't become a free agent till 2025. So
and the team he's playing for right now, I don't think is going to be a contender, despite the crazy year they had in 2020.
There were some people buying the hype that they were going to contend again this year, but I never did it. They do have some young players that look really good that, you know, they've brought up. So you do wonder possibly just how far away they are if they're only, you know, two or maybe three seasons away from competing. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, I didn't believe the hype from last season, which was a non-season as far as I was concerned, and I just didn't see them getting back to the playoffs in 2021.
So, but, you know, you look at them. I mean, they have Alcantara to build around, along with Trevor Rogers, who was having a fantastic season. You know, if they can straighten out Jesus Luzardo, that would give them three starters. You know, they'll be 26, 24, and 24 next year. That's a heck of a rotation to build around if they're good.
If they were competitive and pitched at a higher level, that maybe they can move up a little in the standings.
You know, and I mean, it probably wouldn't hurt them to bring in an older veteran guy to kind of mentor. You know, if you could find a guy like that out there, and I'm sure there'll be one on the free agent market. So, you know, that could be a smart ad for them, because they should have money to spend. I mean, they anybody they had spent any money on, they traded. So.
Yeah, there's some potential there, but maybe they could pass Washington in their standings next season. Who knows?
Yeah, well, you know, the tough part with, you know, Miami is you never know what they're going to do. You know, are they actually going to try to go and develop players, or are they just going to develop players to trade them off for other younger players?
Well, it's got to be difficult for the organization because they have so little fan support.
Yeah. Well, they do better than Tampa Bay.
Yeah, that's a funny thing, too, because Tampa Bay is a perennial contender, and they still tank at the box office year after year.
Yeah.
Except
with Dan in the playoffs. Yeah, with Dan having the experience of going to that park, it's understandable now why they tank. Apparently the park is in the middle of nowhere, So it's not only is it difficult to get to, but it's not in very good shape.
Yeah, well, maybe that's why the fans don't show up for the ball games.
Yeah, so. Oh, here you go. I'm looking at the Marlins payroll now that they've made their moves and, you know, traded Adam Duvall and Starling Marte. The highest salary on the roster is $5 million.
Who's getting that?
Miguel Rojas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, their estimated payroll for next year is $63 million. So if they decide they want to add some guys, they can definitely add some guys.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to go over to salary cap next season.
Yeah, they're not even close. So they'll definitely be okay. So yeah, not a problem there in Miami salary wise. So we'll see how that works out.
Well, it should be an exciting last 2 weeks of the season regarding the wild card race. And I'm wondering if Seattle is back. Do you think Seattle has a chance now? I mean, it'll be tough, but after that four-game sweep, maybe they can surprise everybody. But it's going to be not easy to pass the Boston, Yankees, and Toronto.
Yeah, I think it might be too. You know, it's been a great year there. Don't get me wrong. It just may be a little bit too late for any type of run there left. So we'll see. You never know. You know, you get hot. If you get hot at the right time, you know, it's possible. But, you know, they have some more winnable games here because they're going into a series with the Angels, who just aren't very good again. So, you know, that's definitely possible. But then I thought they play the A's again. So that's a tougher matchup. And I
definitely
can see if I can check quick and figure out who they're going to wrap up against. Oh, that is their last one. Yeah, they've got three against the Angels and then three against the A's to end it. At least the games are at home.
Yeah,
but I just don't. Yeah, and then they do wrap up. It's three against the Angels, three against the A's, and then three against the Angels on the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of October. So there's a slight possibility they could find a way to sneak in, because obviously with the weekend series here, either the Yankees or the Red Sox are going to lose some games. So, you know, and Toronto seems to be off their streak. You know, they got beat by Minnesota, so they're going to have to pick up. So I guess there's an outside chance.
Is Toronto and the Yankees even in the loss column? That's the important, that's the critical column.
Yeah, that one I do not know off the top of my head. Let me see if I can hunt down the standings here really quick and figure out who's where.
And Boston may be just one game ahead of them in the loss column. It's very, very tight.
Yeah, it's definitely it's made for some interesting baseball down the stretch. Otherwise, everybody would be bored because the division races are pretty much wrapped up with the exception of the AL East and the NL West, even though it looks like the Braves are holding on here. Toronto has one more loss than the Yankees. So,
and
Boston has two less than New York and one and three less than Toronto.
Yeah, it's looking like Boston might stagger home and get that one of the wild card slots.
Yeah, they may hang on. They've got a two-game lead right now, of course, by playing the Yankees. If they were to lose or, you know, if they drop two out of three or if they get swept, that's going to go away quickly.
Right,
so,
right. They have to, it has to go 2 out of 3. Neither team can afford to get swept in those series.
You know, and the Red Sox have been hot. They've won 7 in a row, but the Yankees are on a 3-game winning streak. So we'll see how it works out.
Well, the Yankees were hot for a while, don't forget. They were hot for for a couple of weeks, at least, if not longer. But then they really fell on hard times after that.
So, all right, well, let's get into some picks here. Now, you had a 500 weekend last weekend, thanks to the Bears. They really helped you out. So you're 68-57. And we'll start tonight here. You know, the White Sox are in Cleveland. It's Dylan Cease for the White Sox, and Shane Bieber comes back off the IL for the Indians. They're not the Guardians yet. They're the Indians for the rest of the year. Who wins this game?
I don't think Bieber will pitch more than 60 pitches, maybe 70 at the most. So I'll take a chance, even though the White Sox have already clinched. I'm going to go for the White Sox winning this game tonight against Cleveland.
All right, so and then we will find our game here for tomorrow. All right, we got the Cardinals are here in Chicago to play the Cubs. John Lester is getting the start for the Cardinals tomorrow, and it's Adrian Sampson for the Cubs. So just tell me who wins the game.
Well, since Lester recently had a milestone win, I'm going to go with the Cardinals.
So we got Saturday, and then we'll go with, you know, the same thing we did here. The Bears are they're on the road this week, right? They're in Cleveland.
They're in Cleveland, correct?
So who wins the game?
I predict that Cleveland will have little problems beating the Bears, and they will also cover the spread.
Oh, okay, that was the next one there, because Cleveland is a 3.5 point favorite. So
I'm surprised they're only 3.5. I thought they were more than that. Maybe it's dropped down a little bit because at one time, weren't they close to a 7-point favorite?
Yeah, you know, it's possible. I was looking at it earlier because I knew I was going to make you, you know, pick it. And, yeah, it was 3.5.
I'm surprised,
so.
But definitely the Cleveland will beat the spread.
Yeah, you know what I actually found humorous is now that, you know, since good old AT&T UVerse took the NFL Network away from me, I actually completely forgot that there was a game last night.
Houston played last night, correct? Wasn't there a Houston?
Yeah, they got roughed up by Carolina 24-9.
I wonder if they were – was Carolina favorite to win that game? I'm trying to remember now.
Yeah, they were – Carolina was favorite. So, yeah, looking here, yeah, the Bears line is – it's 3.5. Cleveland is favorite by 3.5.
Have the Bears announced who their starting quarterback is going to be for the game?
Yeah, it's Justin Fields this week. Yeah, Dalton is out and Nick Foles is the backup.
Well, it's hard to have much confidence in the Bears winning considering what the Justin Fields quarterback rating was for last week's game.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he looks like he's going to end up being a really good quality NFL quarterback. He's just not ready right now.
No. Maybe they should just play him for the season already and give him the experience he needs for next year.
Yeah, you know, the only problem is with this porous offensive line, it's too big of a risk of him getting hurt.
Yeah. You know, Dalton has not looked bad that not all that bad before he got hurt. I mean, he's looked pretty solid for the most part.
So, yeah, he's played well, so you can't complain too much about it, but you know, people are still going to because they want Justin Fields to play and, you know, whatever goes with it. So,
well, I think the Bears would have more of a chance of winning Sunday if Dalton were at the helm. But I don't think it's going to happen. But what the heck, give the kid his baptism of fire, as the cliche goes, and see,
you know, it's
funny
when you look at it, because, I mean, you know, look at how well a guy like Trevor Lawrence is doing in Jacksonville, or Zach Wilson is doing with the Jets, you know, number one draft picks on bad teams. I don't know how much this is helping their progress.
Right. That's right. Somehow this never seems to work out too well for the Bears when they get their rookie quarterbacks on playing. They never seem to do well initially.
You know, yeah, well, you know, hopefully, you know, they landed on something here. You know, my concern as always is this the right coaching staff to develop them?
That's another good question.
So,
come to think of it, think about a few years ago when Trubisky had his first start on the road against the Packers. He played great in the first half before they wound up losing that game. We thought we had a great quarterback on our hands because he did play very solidly, if you remember. It was a big upset going
on. He didn't play horrible here. I just think they misscouted him, and he wasn't what they thought he was.
No.
You know, if he would have a second-round pick and given time to develop, you wonder what he could have turned into.
Right, and someone didn't do their homework for the Bears because he had a limited amount of experience at the college level, and they still moved up way up there to grab him.
Well, they panicked. That's because Ryan Pace got tricked into thinking the 49ers were taking him at 2. So he paid a bunch. He paid a bunch in, you know, compensation to move from 3 to 2 when the 49ers had no interest in him.
Right. Right. As it turned out, that was the case. Yeah. And
yeah,
that did not turn out too well for the Bears.
Yeah. So, you know, just one of those things. But, I did want to – I got a bonus pick for you. I won't hold this against you in your contest there. You got Wisconsin beating Notre Dame this weekend? I believe they're playing at – are they playing at Wrigley?
Not Wrigley, Soldier Field.
Okay, yeah, I knew it was one of the Chicago venues.
Yeah, there hasn't been football at Wrigley in a long time. But I am going to go for Wisconsin winning, because Notre Dame has not impressed me all that much this season so far.
Yeah, no, I know they managed to be 3-0, but boy, they haven't looked good. So
no, and some of the teams they beat are certainly not of the top echelon in college football either.
No, they really, for whatever reason, have scuffed.
Yeah, that's why I'm going with Wisconsin. Now, if I get it right, I get a bonus win. But if I get it wrong, don't hold it against me.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that. I'll add that into your pick. If you, I will give it to you. But we won't keep that. We won't keep that one against you if it doesn't work out.
All right.
So we'll see how that goes. I don't even know who the other local team. I didn't even look.
No, I'm not sure. Northwestern. Who are they playing?
Yeah, I don't know, but let's. Well, we can go find out while we start our weekend. Have a safe weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.